in hand and turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Today is the day of Pentecost, amen, as we celebrate that wonderful day on which the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And we're going to be focusing upon that this morning, looking at Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. And we're continuing our series, Receive. And today's message is titled, Ask and Receive. Ask and Receive. You know, there was a man that was walking along the beach and he suddenly stumbled upon an old bottle, and he picked it up and he pulled the cork and he began to rub all the sand away from the bottle, and this big plume of smoke began to emerge out of the top of the body, out of the top of the bottle, and all of a sudden out popped a genie. And the genie thanked the man for freeing him from the bottle. And the genie said, in return, I will grant you any three wishes that you desire. Oh, the man said, oh, that's great. I've always dreamed of a moment such as this. This is exactly what I want. He said, the first thing I wish for is $1 million. And poof, the genie handed him a slip of paper with an account number, his name, and a $1 million bank balance. Oh, the man was overjoyed. And then instantly, he came up with a second wish. He said, now I want a brand new Ferrari right here. And poof, with a flash of light, there was a brand new Ferrari right in front of the man. The genie says, your wish is my command. You have one more wish. What is your final wish? And the man said, you know what? I think I'm going to save that for a rainy day. Okay, said the genie, but just be very careful what you wish for. Don't worry, said the man. I'll be careful. And he gets in his new Ferrari and he goes for a drive to show off to all of his friends. And he turns on the radio as he's cruising down the road. And suddenly a very familiar commercial comes on with a well-known jingle. And without realizing it, the man starts to sing along. And the jingle was this. I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. And poof, he received his final wish. Now, we've all heard different variations of these genie stories, but they all tend to end with this fateful twist that serves as a warning to all to be very careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. Well, as Christians, we know that genies and bottles do not exist, but we have a much greater promise than the granting of three wishes. And we don't have to be afraid to ask, because the answer will never be unwanted or unexpected. Yeah. Now read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. The scripture says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. That asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? What an incredible promise that God has given to every one of us. He promises that everyone who asks receives. Now, Jesus' teaching in this passage was given in response to the disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray. And first, Jesus gave them a pattern of prayer. We often refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. It begins, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus was teaching us that when we pray, we need to begin with worship. We need to begin by honoring the Lord. And then we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are surrendering to him. We are asking for his will in our lives, in our circumstances, in the world. We're praying God's priorities and God's purposes. As we move through the prayer, Jesus gives us different aspects that should be involved in our prayer. Then after Jesus gave them a pattern of prayer, he told them a parable about prayer. He told the story of a midnight visitor, and he came to a man who had nothing to offer him. And so that man goes to his neighbor and knocks at midnight on his door, and he's knocking incessantly. And the neighbor says, "It's midnight. I can't get up. My whole family's in bed. I can't get up at this hour and answer the door." But the man refused to go away, and he continued to knock and to knock and to knock. And eventually, the neighbor got up and gave him all that he needed. And after the parable of prayer, then Jesus gives us this incredible promise of prayer. Everyone who asks receives. Now, I believe Jesus's intent was to inspire us, to encourage us to pray. Because no matter how infinitely great God's power to answer prayer might be, the prayer that is not prayed cannot be answered. And not only does Jesus want to encourage us to pray, but he wants to encourage us to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit. And he concludes his teaching on prayer with the promise that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to all who ask him. To all who ask him. The famed Bible scholar R.C. Ryle, commenting on this verse, said, "The Holy Spirit is beyond doubt the greatest gift which God can bestow on men and women. Having this gift," he said, "we have all things." The greatest gift that God can give us is the Holy Spirit. So as we consider the words of Jesus in this verse, I want to encourage everyone to pray. But more importantly, to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you've already received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, let us be reminded of Paul's imperative to Christians in Ephesians 5 to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we will keep coming and keep coming and praying to be refilled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the greatest gift that we can receive from God. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we receive everything that we need to live life the way he's calling us to live and to do what he is calling us to do in this world. And the first thing I want us to see from this passage is that we need to be encouraged to pray because we serve a benevolent Father, a benevolent Father. What does that mean? It means we serve a God of the how much more. A God of the how much more. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? You see, we often make the mistake of thinking that the point of the parable of the midnight visitor is that persistence in prayer will overcome God's reluctance to answer us. So we need to keep praying and praying and praying because God is reluctant to answer our prayer. And through our persistent prayers, we can twist God's arm till he finally says, "Okay, stop bothering me and I'll give you what you want." That's the erroneous picture that we have in our head. But that could not be further from the truth of what Jesus is saying. In fact, it's the actual opposite, the complete opposite of Jesus's point in telling the story. Jesus was using a common teaching method among the rabbis of that day who employed contrast to make a point. Jesus is not saying that God is like the reluctant neighbor at midnight who has his door locked, who didn't want to get out of bed, but eventually gives his friend the bread he needs just to get rid of him. Jesus is saying God is the opposite. God is the opposite of the reluctant neighbor. He's not in a locked house. In fact, his door is open wide, and he has invited us to come boldly before his throne to make our requests known unto him, expecting to receive mercy to help in our time of need. God's door is not locked. It is open, and he has invited us to come to his throne. God is willing. God is desirous to answer our prayers, to meet our needs, and to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask him. Now that's the reason that Jesus immediately follows this parable of the reluctant neighbor in verse 9 by saying, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." You see, after the parable, Jesus gives us the interpretation. The key to understanding the story as he commonly did when he told parables. Jesus said, this is the point. This is the truth that I'm communicating to you. God is not like that reluctant neighbor. He is a benevolent father, a good father, a giving father who stands ready to answer your prayers. He delights to bless his children with good gifts, and he desires to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask. So ask, and you will receive. You see, Jesus tells us the meaning of the parable himself. And to reinforce his point, he then uses a comparison. So first a contrast, now a comparison. In verses 11 through 13, he compares God to sinful earthly parents who are eager to answer the requests of their children and to give them good things. You see, even though earthly parents are imperfect and corrupted by sin, can be selfish, God says even then they have such love for their children that they delight to give their children good things. And then he says, how much more? If earthly parents can be that good, if earthly parents can be that giving despite their imperfection, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more eager, how much more willing, how much more desirous is our Heavenly Father to hear and answer the prayers of his children? The famed church reformer Martin Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying a hold of God's willingness. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying a hold of God's willingness. So first, we serve a God of the how much more. But we also serve a God who delights to give good gifts to his children. And Jesus uses the illustration of a son asking his father for his needs to teach us about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The devil hinders so many people from receiving by making them think that God doesn't want to give them the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But Jesus makes it plain that God desires to give the Holy Spirit to every one of his children. And the devil hinders some people by making them think that what they're going to receive is a counterfeit. Look at the comparison Jesus gives. You see, he uses the comparison of a son asking for bread. And he says, if a son asks for bread, will the father give him a stone? Well, you know, a stone could possibly look like a loaf of bread. He says, if a son asks for a fish, will the father give him a serpent? Or if a son asks for an egg, will the father give him a scorpion? And you know, a serpent could possibly be mistaken for a fish. They do swim in the water to some degree, and you could mistake it. And a coiled up scorpion could possibly look like a brown egg. But no parent would give their child a counterfeit for what their child is asking for. Some people who are asking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit are afraid that they're going to get a counterfeit. That instead of speaking in tongues, they're just going to end up with some gibberish or a repetition of sounds that they're hearing. Child of God, if you ask your Father for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he's not going to play bait and switch on you and give you something else. He's not going to allow you to receive something bad. He's going to give you what you're asking for. He's going to give you the real thing. And the devil hinders some people from receiving by making them think that they're going to receive something bad, something that will embarrass them or that will have a negative impact on them in some way. Now, just as we said in this passage, an earthly father would not give a stone to a child asking for bread. Why? Because a stone has no nutritional value. An earthly father would not give a serpent to a child asking for fish. Why? Because a serpent is poisonous. It's harmful. An earthly father would not give a scorpion to a child asking for an egg. Why? Because a scorpion has a deadly sting. It is hurtful. No earthly parent would give their child something that was hurtful or something that was bad or something that was negative for them. No, an earthly parent who loves their child will give their child what they're asking for. If their child is asking for food, bread, fish, an egg, you're going to give your child what they're asking for. You're going to give your child their request. How much more will our Heavenly Father make sure that what He gives us is not negative or hurtful in any way to us, but it is something good for us. Something good for us. Secondly, Jesus wants us to be encouraged to pray like a hungry child. Like a hungry child. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? It's a hungry child asking for food. And what I want us to see first is the intensity of a cry. Have you ever seen a hungry baby? When a baby's hungry, they will cry with increasing intensity. They put all of their energy into sounding the alarm that they want to be fed. Their face even might turn red and their lungs are exercised to the hilt. They're going to make sure somebody hears them, and they're not going to stop crying until they're fed, because the baby knows that they will starve without food. They know that food is an absolute necessity for them. Folks, praying is an expression of the hunger of our soul for God. And praying for the Holy Spirit is an expression of a hunger that realizes the absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit for our lives. And the three words that Jesus uses in regard to asking for the Holy Spirit indicate an increasing intensity. First, you ask. And the word means to make a request. And then you seek. Now, seeking involves action. It involves effort. It involves expending your energy to do something to get what you're looking for. And then knocking, this requires repetition. It requires persistence. It requires perseverance for the door to be open. And each level indicates an increased expression of desire and passion. And any delay that we experience is not new to God's reluctance, but is intended to increase our desire for Him, to help us realize our deep need of Him. And any delay that we experience should not be an excuse to stop seeking, but it should cause us to increase our intensity of pursuit.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Why? For they shall be filled. God will satisfy your hunger. Come to Him like a hungry child. Cry out to Him and do not give up until you receive all that you need. Come to Him as a hungry child. So we see the intensity of the cry, and then let's look at the expectancy of the cry of a hungry child. Jesus uses the illustration of a son asking his father for food, whether it's bread or fish or an egg. And he uses this illustration to teach us about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in most normal families, when a child is hungry, they expect to be fed. I say normal families because we know of those out-of-the-box cases of parents that will leave their children for days at a time to go and use drugs or whatever it is. But most normal families, when a child is hungry, they can expect to be fed. But using Jesus' analogy, even though earthly parents may be sinful and imperfect, and they may make many mistakes, generally, most parents love their children and will do everything that they can for them. Parents will give their kids just about anything they ask for if they know that they need it, if they know that it's for their good, and the parents will do everything they can to provide it. Certainly, parents would not withhold food from their children when they are hungry and they ask for it. You know, despite the fact that growing up we didn't have a lot of money, there was always food in our house. And my parents would sacrifice their own needs and wants to always make sure that we had food. There was not a time growing up that we sat at the table hungry and our mother did not put a meal on that table before us. Jesus says even human parents, despite their sinful imperfections and their selfish human nature, they know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? How much more? Our Heavenly Father is untainted by sin. He is untainted by selfishness. He is incomparably more loving, more generous, more kind, more selfless than any earthly parent, no matter how good they might be. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all who ask Him? Pull up to the Father's table hungry this morning. Tell him that you're hungry. My God. And come with an expectancy that He will feed you, that He will satisfy you. Won't you come expectantly this morning, like a hungry child, to our loving Father? If the worship team could come back, like a loving Father who desires to give you the Holy Spirit and delights to answer the cry all of His children. And if you've been filled in the past, don't you hunger for more? Don't you want more? I don't know about you, but when I taste something good, I want more of it. That's probably my problem. Amen. When I taste something good, I want more of it. And that's something I constantly have to fight. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Once you have tasted of the Lord, there is nothing that compares. And we ought to want more, more. When you come to the altar this morning, come like a hungry child. Open your mouth. Ask of the Father. Begin to praise and to honor Him. Come believing and expecting that God will fill you, that He will satisfy, that He will pour out His Holy Spirit in your life. Just begin to open your mouth and praise that you might receive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You're a good God, that You're a gracious God, that You're a God of the how much more. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your promise, Lord, that you have promised that all who ask shall receive. And You have promised that You will give the Holy Spirit to all who ask of You. Lord, I pray that You would pour out of Your Holy Spirit this morning upon every hungry soul, upon every soul that comes to this altar, asking, seeking, and knocking. Meet us here in this place today, in Jesus' precious name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, before we can even talk about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a promise given to those who are children of God. And to become a child of God, we first have to enter into a relationship with Him by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins. Because in our sin separates us from God. It breaks our relationship with God. And when we are in sin, the Bible says that we are dead spiritually, which means we are cut off from God. We can't communicate with Him because He's spirit. And we need to come to Christ in faith, confess our sins, and invite Him to come and live inside of us. When we do that, we are born again. Our spirit is made alive. And we are brought into relationship with God. And we are made the children of God. The Bible says, to as many as believed upon Him, upon Jesus, He gave them the right to be called the children of God. And when we become children of God, then we can claim this wonderful promise that we have been looking at today. The promise of the Holy Spirit. if you're here today and maybe you've heard about Jesus many times before, how he came from heaven and lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for us, and how he rose again the third day. And in your mind, you might even acknowledge it as true. But if you personally have never responded, if you have never come to Jesus in faith and said, I believe that you died for me, if you personally have never repented of your sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, you're turning your back on your sinful life, and you're saying, I don't want that anymore, and you're turning to the Lord and saying, God, I want you. And then we invite him to come in our lives. If you have never personally done that, then all that Jesus did on the cross is of no benefit for you. But if you'll come to him in faith this morning, the moment that you pray and ask him to come into your life, he will do exactly what you ask him to do, and you will be born again. You will become a child of God. Or maybe you prayed this prayer several years ago and you've drifted away and you know that you need to come back. He loves you, and he stands with arms wide open waiting for you to come to him. If there's anyone here today that you would say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Just say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe that we are all saved. Then I'm going to speak to you. The promise that we've looked at this morning is for every one of us. For every one of us. God knows, like a child needs food to live. Spiritually, as children of God, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live the way he's calling us to. And he invites every one of us to come and ask, to come and ask. And he promises that everyone who asks shall receive. You may have asked before. Don't be discouraged. Jesus says to keep on asking. And you shall receive. Keep on seeking and you shall find. Just use that delay as something that pushes you to intensify your cry. And just keep coming until you have received. If you're here today and you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor Maria. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone this morning? Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I want to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to assume then that 100% of us are baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to speak to you. If you're filled with the Spirit, come to this altar and ask God to refill you. Because just like a child doesn't eat once for the rest of their life, they eat every day. Let's come to this altar and say, God, I'm hungry for more of you. Would you just slip out and come? If we're all baptized in the Holy Ghost, all of us ought to be responding to this altar call. Just come and say, God, fill me afresh and anew. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more of you. I'm hungry for more of you. Lift your voices as you come to this altar. Ask God to fill you afresh and anew. Tell him that you're hungry, that you want more of him in your life. Lift up your voice to him right now.